A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Back to the air for Stroud. Stops. Deep shot. Stroud. End zone. Caught! In the bucket for Dell. A touchdown!
Well, that play did not end particularly well, but that is how close the Houston Texans were to pulling off an upset nearly a month ago at Arrowhead Stadium. And tomorrow, they have a chance to pull off the biggest victory in franchise history. Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George. It is a Friday. Got to get down on Friday, January 17th of 2025. Joe George is back. He is wearing a battle red CJ Stroud jersey. Joe, I'm assuming that your interview to be the next head coach of the Chicago Bears did not go so well.
You know, you never know. I think I heard it's between me, McCarthy, Ben Johnson. Jack Del Rio's out of the race. He's coaching in Paris now.
Right. So he's coaching a French football
team. Yes. So I think I have a better chance to get the Bears job than Jack Del Rio.
Okay.
I think.
But you're back. I mean, you're fully swarmed.
I'm swarmed, baby.
Battle red jersey, Texans hat. I'm wearing a cowboy hat, Texans starter jacket.
Should I get my new Texans hat?
Well, you can wear it if you want. I don't think you want to put it on, personally, just knowing you, but it is a Houston Texans 2024 playoffs hat, and it has the sticker on. The Houston Texans were very cool yesterday. They gave us some snickety snacks, and they gave us some T-shirts and hats because they're in the playoffs, and they're ready to swarm.
They're swarming, babe. I just need the hats to just say swarm on the front with the Texans logo on the side. That's all I really need.
There is a patch somewhere, we don't know where it went, that says H-Town made playoffs 2024. So it's the hashtag that they have on Twitter /X, but it also looks like they made the playoffs in 2024. But they gave us some goodies. Still 9-point dogs on the road tomorrow. I've been going back and forth, Joe, because I really want to believe they can pull this victory off. And yesterday, I watched the game back between the Texans and Chiefs, which the Chiefs won 27-19 about a month ago. Oh, man, it was so close. And I know a lot of people point to the referees as to why the Chiefs ended up pulling it out, because there were a couple of fortunate calls in the Chiefs' favor. There was the Tank Dell offensive pass interference. There was a deep throw to Tank Dell in the end zone early that wasn't called pass interference. Derek Stingley got called for a holding on DeAndre Hopkins on a play where the Texans got a sack. There was Fairbairn missing the extra point right after that touchdown you just heard. There's after the Texans stopped the Chiefs at midfield, Dalton Schultz dropped a 3rd-and-9 pass that would have been a first down. It was a drop. No other way to look at it. They had plenty of opportunities in this game. And I think the big question is, can they finally correct those mistakes that they've been making all year long, or are they just going to keep making the same mistakes that they make all year long?
I mean, coming off last week, I do feel better that like they can correct some of these mistakes. Now, the other side of that game was that CJ Stroud threw an interception on the first drive of the game, which led to a touchdown, which is, that's the stuff that would be, to me, the most, like, that can't happen again. The early interceptions that they had in that game, that they had the two non-drives, the fumble, and then the three and out on the next one last week versus the Chargers. I think they can keep it close again. I think the number is way too big for the way the Chiefs have played this year.
Yeah.
And I think the Texans, if you're ever going to correct it, like, you obviously need to do it now. My thing with, you know, going through the highlights of the game was, I guess I forgot, just because of the injury itself, how good Tank was in that game. He had a massive game. It felt like it finally everything like clicked. It felt like for the offense in that game.
I think it was 6 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown. He should have drawn a DPI in the end zone. Texas still scored on that drive for what it's worth, but he played great. He even had a nice punt return of 15 yards. And that's why I don't think I'm going to be able to pull the trigger calling a Texans win. I see a cover with no Robert Woods, potentially, who missed all the practices this week, with Cade Stover out. Do you really trust this offense to make plays with John Mechie, Xavier Hutchinson, and Dalton Schultz after Nico Collins? They're going to try to get Nico the ball. They will probably get Nico the ball. Hopefully less of those stupid wide receiver screens, of which they ran 4 against the Chiefs, all 4 dead on arrival. But no Tank Dell, who was so good in that game, probably his best game of the year. It makes me think that this is going to be just too tough of a task. I don't know that they're going to be able to put up the points necessary to win offensively, even if I do think the defense can keep this different Chiefs offense than years past in check.
Yeah, it's at some point, like everything's just going to, it's going to catch up to you at some point. That you're just going to be, it's too much, it's too many injuries, it's too many mistakes, it's too much to overcome the issues that you've had from the beginning of the season to now, where you're just realistically like, can they keep doing it? Can they keep finding a way? I think the easy answer is no. And then I don't know what's going on with Joe Mixon. I didn't realize he was hurt.
Dealing with an ankle injury. He was limited in practice on Wednesday, and he didn't practice at all yesterday. Yesterday's usually the very light walkthrough practice, so I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think he will play, but I wonder how affected he is.
Yeah, and then because you know we've even seen they really haven't – they choose not to use Damian Pierce at all. Like, unless you're playing the Titans in Week 18, it's an irrelevant football game. Like, you don't really have him either. So if he's also not 100%, which your offensive line – I mean, he's done all the work this year. Like, the offensive line is not blocked great for him.
Nope.
So when he's had success, it's been all Joe Mixon. So if that ankle slows him down at all, it just makes it even more challenging. So, yeah, I think this game's close because your defense can slow down the Chiefs enough to where they're not explosive this year. This might be like a race to – this is a race to 20, honestly. I mean, it's 17-16 when Kaimi misses the extra point.
It's going to be 20 degrees for most of the game. 22, 23. It's going down, I think, from 24 per the forecast to 20 over the course of the time from 3:30 to 7:30 or so.
And honestly, like CJ's played in some cold games, but not.
He hasn't done this yet.
Yeah, not this. Because I did this last year with the Bees as we went back and looked through his Ohio State games. And
like, and November. They
were, exactly.
You almost don't even need to look through it. And you know what's funny, Joe? We played the audio of this yesterday. CJ Stroud said one of the reasons that he went to Ohio State was so he'd be tested in the cold. Okay, man. I think you went because of all the good receivers there. I don't blame you for going because of all the good receivers there.
Yeah. There's times when it can get pretty cold in November, but like 20 degrees, it's going to be different. So like you're going to need to run the ball. It's going to be freezing cold. And you just have so many injuries. It's really challenging to see a clear path to a Texans victory this weekend, unless you have a, you know, Super Bowl level performance again from your defense. Like that's the way.
Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating watching it back. Honestly, I would tell anyone, don't watch it back. You will be mad because they lost the game. I don't think Kansas City won it. And I'll run through it again. First drive of the game, much like early against the Chargers, the Texans offense getting in its own way. Stroud basically punts it into triple coverage to Nico Collins downfield. Play didn't have much of a chance. It wasn't much worse than a punt. Second drive of the game, they have a 2nd and 6 at the Chiefs 11. They run the first of 4 too many wide receiver screens. They lose 4, 3rd and 10, end up kicking a field goal. There's the barely incomplete pass by Patrick Mahomes. It was an incomplete pass. I know a lot of people are bitching about that one. His arm was going forward, but he wasn't trying to tuck the ball in. Fourth drive of the game, Texans are at the Chiefs 31. Dell's called for that OPI. But they're still in field goal range, and Stroud throws an interception while jumping. That one was really bad. And the Chiefs ended up getting a field goal on that drive to add to their lead. I brought up the wide receiver screen that sets up a 3rd and long after they had stuffed the Chiefs at midfield. And then Schultz drops the 3rd and 9 pass. And a little bit later,
down 24-16 at the Kansas City 10 with a first and goal. Stroud runs out of bounds. Throw it away, man. You can throw it out the back of the end zone when you're that close. Instead of just throwing it away, 5-yard loss because he ran out of bounds, and then he got called for a delay of game before third down. So many self-inflicted mistakes in this game, and that has been truly the story of the Texans season. They shoot themselves in the foot a lot. I tend to believe they're going to continue. I would like to be completely shocked and completely bamboozled here right now, and maybe it'll change over the course of the next 3 hours. Maybe we get a caller like JG or Wood, who Deep Steel Blue pills me into predicting the seemingly impossible. But where I'm at right now, I think you're asking too much, both of a team that continuously gets in its own way, and on top of that, a team that's missing the guy who played the best against Kansas City on offense for them last time around.
Yeah, and the drop from Schultz in the last game, the screen passes, like that's where I feel like people were like really were done with the Bobby Slowick experiment. Like during that game, and he's throwing these, and they're disastrous. And Robert Woods, like if he's not playing this weekend, like the screen pass is even less of an option now. We saw like some new play design. There was the fake toss, and then there was a screen on like the right side of the field that we saw this weekend. So we saw like Bobby Slowick be a little more creative with the screen pass stuff versus the Chiefs game. It was really just like they were just like it looked like a screen. The new screen was coming, and they would go for negative yardage. It was brutal play design, play call. They had no prayer against the Chiefs. Like the short game that worked this weekend, like that's pretty much what you have to do.
But without Cade Stover, without Robert Woods, you're trusting John Metchie, who I don't trust, Dalton Schultz, who I don't trust, and Xavier Hutchinson, who is fun, but, I mean, that guy should be your fifth wide receiver. I saw a lot of people, I think it was, of course, at Texans Commenter, getting mad that Emmanuel Acho couldn't remember Xavier Hutchinson's name. Yeah, I wouldn't either. Like, no offense to Xavier Hutchinson.
He's like 10 catches this season.
I mean, does he have his moments? Sure. Lots of players in the NFL have their moments. You're asking, can you trust this guy against one of the best defenses in the NFL on the road in the cold to consistently make plays? You shouldn't. You should not trust someone like that unless you were the most trusting person alive. And if you're the most trusting person alive, you know what's going to happen? People are going to steal from you. Steal your money. So that's something to keep in mind if you're betting on this game. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Can the Texans put shooting themselves in the foot, Plaxico bursting themselves in the past for Saturday's showdown against the Chiefs in what could be the greatest day of their lives? Also up next, I know the Rockets lost last night, and yet I came away from last night's game more impressed than I was by their performance against the Nuggets. Why? Stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Couple of texts, 713-780-3776 on a Football Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday. One texter says, you have to bull Eve. And for those who haven't been listening to us the last couple of weeks, bull, like B-U-L-L, leave. We're not pronouncing it strange because guess what? The Houston Texans mascot, Toro, he's a bull. This texter continues, these are all tests from the Lord to make the Texans stronger. They will overcome. Prayer emoji. I have some questions. Now, we know that CJ thanks the big man upstairs and his son after every game. We've also noticed D'Amico Ryan's doing it the last couple of weeks. I do not know why D'Amico has started doing it. I also noticed this, and perhaps this has been happening all the time. I feel like D'Amico has a massive cross on his chest now. Like he wears, I feel like he has upgraded his, what are those called? Crucifix necklace? It looks bigger. And I do have a question, and this is definitely perhaps diving into dangerous territory. Is it kind of sacrilegious to have like a blinged out cross?
Oh, that's a good question. Catholic school Mapes? Any help over here?
Opinions differ.
Okay. I think opinions differ.
You could make the case.
A lot of baseball players, I mean, my God. The crosses they're wearing, I mean, Jesus was just a carpenter.
Exactly. That's the general idea for people that are against us. That's not exactly what Jesus was all about, was bling, I would say.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if Jesus was all about the bling?
Yeah. Had the nicest sandals. I mean, having sandals.
No Birkenstocks. No, he's wearing Gucci. Gucci slides.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. That's just something that came to my mind.
Maybe it was just a Christmas gift for D'Amico. He's just, you know, making sure the wife sees he's wearing the Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Christopher Soriano comments on YouTube. HRNP on the line. Hey, also on the text line, I know it's not Astro season, but do we need to play the Astros cocaine song and replace it with Texans for those who haven't heard it? It's the Astros baseball song. It's just like some random person asking the person probably sitting next to them at Daikon Field, hey, how does baseball work? And then there's somebody in the background whispering, Astros. This wouldn't work because the entire song is about baseball.
Yeah.
It would be fun to do that and say, Texans football. Who says it's only a game? But it wouldn't work.
Maybe we just rewrite it.
Yeah. This is something that we would have had to be in the lab all week to remake, see if there's an instrumental that we could use.
Yeah, this feels like week one, Texans-Jags.
Texans-Jags?
Week one, whatever the game is next year.
No, the Super Bowl champion normally plays on the Thursday night.
Oh, you're right. And they'll play an NFC team. Good call, Sean.
Sean behind the glass, he's Joe. It's Gallant and George, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5. You want to get in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. Last night, the Houston Rockets, on the second night of a back-to-back, played the Sacramento Kings. The game ended like this.
It goes off to Shingun. It's Green, a three for the tie. The Kings will go to 8-2. That's all she wrote.
132-127. The Kings won last night. That look that Jalen Green had from outside, it was open. I will say about the Kings, who have been off to a slow start, as you heard from Kevin Harlan there, they've been playing very good of late. I'll also say this about the Rockets. Last night, they played the Kings. Night before, they played the Nuggets. You can understand how they'd be perhaps a little bit gassed on the second night of a back-to-back. There was no Fred VanVleet in this game, which meant a little more Amen Thompson at the point. I look at this loss, and I know it's frustrating that they lost because they got in their own way a little bit and they gave up the most points they've given up all year. But I don't know how you can't be encouraged by the way that this team just hangs around. Because there were a couple of moments where it looked like the Kings were pulling away in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and the Rockets just kept storming back. And the guy who's making it happen is Jalen Green, who has been unbelievable from outside over the course of the last few games. The last four games, he's shot over 50%. He is 19 of 32 from outside. Insane. You know, we're talking close to 60% there.
Yeah, he's playing his best basketball. This is a better stretch than last year, than last March, for sure. Because the games mean more. It's not like the end of the season where you're potentially playing teams that have given up on the year. Like you are the number two team in the Western Conference right now. So like you're battling, you know, for seeding. You're playing good teams. Teams are on a roll when all this is happening. Like he's not getting these against bad basketball teams. I think last night I do agree. I'm impressed that they continue to find a way to get back into these games, even if they are down at some point, that they don't just, you know, roll over and die basically in a basketball game. A little concerning what it was like though without Fred. Like they're not really like the development of the next point guard to replace Fred VanVleet. It's one game, obviously. That was the only part for me that wasn't as encouraging. Was just like with Amen Thompson in the starting lineup. I was surprised, like with what Jeff Green starting last night's game that was the call of who makes the filling
yeah,
that spot.
It was a weird lineup.
Surprised me. I thought we might see Cam Whitmore start the game, honestly, just to kind of see like what would it look like with the men and Cam and Alpie and Jalen on the court.
He cooled a little bit, but I mean he had been playing pretty well as a sixth man. You expect that to happen. Nice game for Tari Easton though in his first game back. He ended up with 16 points. I mean, it's going to sound cliche, and we're going to be saying this a lot, but I mean, this team just busts its ass. They try hard, and I kept on hearing it over the course of the broadcast. If they ever figure out how to shoot, I mean,
yeah,
sky is the limit. They're the two seed right now, and their shooting is rather inconsistent unless it's Jalen Green shooting.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alpie's the one for me that like I'm a little just like watching the mid-range stuff. Just seems not as, I don't know, he just doesn't look as I don't know if it's confident or just as good offensively. I think the defense has been a lot better. I was reading a piece about that today where it's like you can, like the defense has been much better this year with Alpie. I don't know if that's balancing out what's happening on offense a little bit, but
I'm sure it takes away a little bit of energy. Yeah. It is one of those sacrifices that you have to make over the course of a game. Hey, how much energy am I reserving to each end of the court? The guy who has mastered it is LeBron. LeBron is so good at knowing when he needs to play defense because he still can, considering he's 40, but he doesn't do it all game long.
Yeah. Last night's game, like it was a good game, and I would like to see him find a way to pull it out without Fred VanVleet on the court. But it is good to see them continue to battle like this. And you're right, like they played in Denver the night before.
You know, that's tough. This is a tough back to back.
Yeah,
Sacramento's playing really well. All of a sudden, they've had an awful start to the year, and also too. I mean, now obviously you need to be better defensively, but DeMar DeRozan played great.
He still got it, man. DeMar still got it. That's a good move for them. And look, this is a totally different basketball team than their record indicates because, well, they're what 8-2 since they fired their coach. So like they're just a totally different team. So it's not like this is not a bad loss or anything like that.
Did you hear Ime Udoka after the game? There's some Sacramento reporter that I think went to the Rockets press conference for some reason, and Ime Udoka treated him as a hostile enemy.
Coach, when you come into this building, what type of game are you guys expecting to have?
A win.
Amen also had...
Just stares him down.
Yeah, the clip doesn't do the justice of... He just, like, again, a win, and just stares at him and scowls at him like Ime Udoka always does until someone else jumps in with a question about Amen Thompson.
He doesn't respect your BS city. Lady Bird movie sucked for hipsters. I've never seen it. Apparently it's good.
I've never seen it either.
That's all I know about Sacramento is that Lady Bird took place there, and I drove through it once while driving back to Houston from Seattle.
The Athletics suck.
That's true.
I mean, they're not the Sacramento Athletics, though. They're just the Athletics. Yeah,
they're going to play there.
They don't even want to claim Sacramento.
Yeah.
What's the actual minor league team? The Sacramento Rivercats? Yeah, Sacramento Rivercats. That's the team they'll be sharing the stadium with.
I can't believe you know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, of all the weird... baseball information, you
and
know,
we just
like
sat here just trying
like
to
whipping
name,
out like a Sacramento.
We sat here trying to name AAA teams. I think you would get the River Cats apparently and the Space Cowboys.
Well,
so
what?
That's it.
What? I mean, sorry, your boy knows cats.
You know what? Maybe that's
I like pussy. You know, like I like cats. They're great. What? What are you laughing at?
Pick up a hat when you drove through.
I did. Just kidding. I didn't. HRNP on the line. Oh, damn it. Well, it's been great. It's been a great time here on the Galan and George radio program. And on here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call. To text, you can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. This one texter keeps on texting about God. I really hope God is not concerned with this game, okay? I really hope that. Hell, earlier this week, C.J. Stroud was asked about the Ohio State game, and C.J. Stroud said, God's thinking about Ohio State. Jesus is looking down on Ohio State. C.J., come on, dude.
You're playing the Catholics.
Come on. They are playing the Catholics.
You got the Catholics coming up. Like, if God's going to be on a team, pretty sure he's on Team Notre Dame.
C.J. clearly Protestant. Doesn't play the Catholics. Think we're heretics or crazy people.
That would make sense of why he's Team Ohio State over. Why he thinks God would be Team Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, guys, it's Galan and George. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. You want to jump in? You know how to do it. Texans and Chiefs tomorrow. People actually seem to believe the Texans have a chance.
Do you want to hear some of those people saying that they think the Texans have a chance? We'll play some, including not quite the worst sports bet I've ever heard, but it's definitely up there these days. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Texans and Chiefs tomorrow, 3:30. Chiefs, 9-point favorites, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Joe, as the week has gone along, I'm pretty surprised by the amount of people that are thinking the Texans are going to win. It's honestly making me feel worse about the Texans' chances to win. I feel like there's enough people believing in Houston to perhaps say, hang on. Let's bring reality back to the room.
Do you think they believe in Houston, or they just want to be the people that are correct in picking against the Chiefs?
It's like the chicken or the egg question when it comes to hot take artists like ourselves.
Because like I feel like that's what it was for the Patriots, right? Is everyone just wanted to be the first person to say the Patriots dynasty is dead.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like listening to some of these people pick the Texans, I'm like, I don't know if they really believe that the Texans are gonna win this weekend. Or they just wanna, if they're right, they get to big W in the conference.
I think that's a good point. And I think perhaps some of these same people who might have done the same things with the Patriots back in the day, they're a little more guarded with how they say the Chiefs might go down. There have been very few people who are saying it with the Texans logo on their chest, if you will. I would say most people are saying they should be concerned. It's going to be a tough outing. But there still are some people who are doing what our good friend, the Houston Texans fan, who said that if they lost to the Chargers, he would join the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
There are still people making ridiculous bets. And this one isn't quite, I'll join the Navy if the Chiefs lose. But one of my favorite athletes growing up, Paul Pierce, who is on Fox Sports, and I don't think watches a lot of football, but at the very least is fun. Didn't bring strippers to the show this time.
Not as fun.
Right. And Texter says, Joy Taylor. No, stop. Stop. We're not slandering strong, independent women on this show. Here's Paul Pierce making a gamble about Texans and Chiefs tomorrow.
If the Chiefs lose to the Texans,
it's a miracle.
I live 15 miles away from here. I'm walking
in. That's what Paul was saying in the meeting room. Talking about, I'm walking
in. Don't do that. I'm walking in on the meeting. I'm walking here.
It's,
you tripping. I'm walking here if they lose the Texans. I'm walking here 15 miles.
They could, though.
I'm walking.
I would hate to see you have to walk.
No, that's going
to work. Because, you know, coming over that 405, it's a hill. And the hill is kind of steep.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm gonna get up at 5 in the morning.
Okay, taking longer than that.
Don't do that. Don't say that, Paul, because you're saying this, and if it happens,
I'm walking. Oh, I'm telling the world right now. You can look me in my face. I'm looking right at the camera. Listen, I'm walking here on Monday. If the Chiefs lose to Houston, it's an 8-hour walk, and we're gonna see what's up.
Did he just say 8-hour walk?
He says an 8-hour walk,
15 miles. There's no way that takes you 8 hours, right? Or maybe it does. I don't know. I've never walked 15 miles.
3 miles per hour. It honestly, it should be 5 hours.
Okay.
Right? I did math.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to do, like, if he does a 10-minute mile 15 times.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if Paul Pierce has 15 10-minute miles.
I guess that is the question. Like, yeah. I mean, and you're walking. Like, is this a paced walk, or are you, like, trying to make sure you get to work on time?
Christopher Soriano commented on YouTube, he's stealing your gimmick, Paul. For those who don't remember, a year ago yesterday, I walked to work in 22-degree cold to show solidarity with the Houston Texans who were going to play in Baltimore in the cold. Because I saw some people, my friend Landry Locker, were bitching and moaning about football being played outside in the elements. Sorry, soft, very soft. Football belongs in the elements. And I wanted to make a point. to prove to all these to prove to all these softy wafties that it's not that hard to walk to work. But that was 1.1 miles each way.
Yeah.
How long did it take?
It took about, each way was 20 minutes.
Okay.
It wasn't that long of a walk. And I'm a fast walker too. Paul Pierce could be a fast walker. He's tall.
Long strides.
Right. Yeah,
that helps.
He also, I mean, he is very famous for the wheelchair.
I'd say you could just roll him there.
Maybe
just
poop himself.
It would be kind of funny if he got an electric wheelchair and I hope he does. I love Paul Pierce. I'm very thankful for the championship that he brought to me as a college aged kid with the Boston Celtics. This is a fun bet. It's a bet that I do not think Paul Pierce is going to follow through on.
No.
I think maybe
there's smoke and fire in LA right now. Like, that would be a terrible walk.
Yeah, I would say like I would have him walk 15 miles like on a treadmill. Well, I guess it would take 5 hours, so you couldn't do it during the show. But like have a live stream or something where he just is on a treadmill for 5 hours.
Make him do the show from the treadmill.
Yeah, something like that where you are still running or walking at least, but you don't actually have to walk to work. Because that also seems tough.
It's also a bad bet because, well, he volunteered it. And, like, there's no, like no one took the other side. Like, no one's like, well, if the Texans lose.
If Keyshawn Johnson, like, pushed him to doing that.
Keyshawn would be like, well, if the Texans lose, I'll walk 15 miles.
Keyshawn, which we remember from his trip here, Keyshawn takes himself a little bit too seriously. I don't think Keyshawn is going to lower himself to doing something like this. This is why I respect Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce, I kind of believe, would follow through on this.
There's a chance.
There's zero chance that Keyshawn Johnson would follow
through. Keyshawn wouldn't even put himself out there to do it. He wouldn't even do that.
Yeah.
No. And you
noted
to...
Dodgers supporter.
That's right.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Bet Dodger.
Who did not have his facts in order when he was trying to push the idea that the Dodgers didn't do anything, but the Astros did. But that's fine. He's from L.A. He's a little bit biased. Paul Pierce is from L.A. too. He's got to know there's hills, and that's what Keyshawn, I think, brought up to Pierce along the way. The hills in L.A., they are real.
Yeah.
It's actually fairly hilly. Like, here, a 1.1-mile walk, it's just flat.
Yeah.
The only thing that's dangerous, it's not you walking. It's more you're walking on Westheimer, and who knows what happens.
That's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and plus the walk is always just like a little bit different than the drive. You just don't realize like what you actually pass. I did that like 2 weeks ago. I went to go drop off my car somewhere, but no one was home, so I just walked there. Just walked home. Oh. Realized on my walk home there's a creek. Didn't realize I drove over a creek every day and just like got to it. It was just like.
Oh, no.
Just like got to it.
Ford the river.
I'm either going to just like find a way like across this thing or
look for a narrow part to jump across.
And that's what I did. As I just like walked down until I found like a part where like the water was really low. There was like a rock there. Did you jump?
Did you like, hop?
Yeah.
Do you know what would be the worst?
My shoes did get wet. It was not fun.
Could have been worse though. It would have been a hop to the spot and then you fell.
Yeah. That would be way worse. Yeah.
That can't happen. Yeah.
Well, I just was like, well, I didn't realize this was here.
I can't Uber from here.
Yeah.
Sean behind the glass, he's Joe. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. A couple of texts here. Christian Vela's on YouTube comments, Paul Pierce in the ICU for walking in poor air quality because the Texans won a football game. That would be kind of funny.
Because he'll be fine. He's an athlete.
I feel like Paul's losing that athlete edge quicker than most athletes, just based off of that YouTube video.
Yeah, I was going to say that one Instagram Live video didn't scream athlete to me. Or, no, it screamed athlete to me. It didn't scream current athlete.
He doesn't play in the Big Three?
One more time?
He doesn't play in that Big Three basketball league? All the other washed up pros do. So
He made too much money to do that. There is a certain level of what your career earnings were.
Yeah.
That the higher end, you don't play in that league.
From the 832, my parents came here through the Rio Grande. Do I say Rio Grande? I'm not sure how you're supposed to say it. Pierce can walk to 15 miles. First off, shout out to your parents. But we do not want ICE to,
to
follow up on this text.
Paul Pierce does the paperwork on this one.
From the 713, as bad as Joy Taylor's Hill. Stop. Guys, stop.
So are you going to walk with solidarity with Paul Pierce if the Texans win this weekend? Are you going to walk to work on Monday?
Yeah, because I don't think I'm going to predict the Texans to win today. I don't. I want to so badly. Last year, I picked them to cover against the Ravens. The Ravens are just a bad matchup. But, yeah, I think here's what I'll do, because I'm probably going to pick the Chiefs to win at the end of this. I will. Oh, damn. It's going to be really cold on Monday. You know what? Yeah, punishment. Punishment. I'm going to walk to work. I'm going to wear the ridiculous ski suit. And on top of that, I'm going to wear this Houston Texans J.J. Watt autographed
helmet. You're going to wear it on the walk?
I'm going to wear it on the walk. Depending on if it's raining, because I do not want the rain to like wash off the autograph.
That's fair.
But if it's not, then I'll just wear my very poofy Texans hat.
And you can always just wait until it snows and then walk that day.
Oh, walk through the snow?
Yeah. Because it's going to snow like 3 days next week, I think. So
yeah, I got the ski suit.
Yeah.
It looks so sick, dude. You ever seen it?
That's what I remember most.
I think I was already in the building for whatever reason, for like a meeting that day when you walked in with the ski suit. And I was like, well, what is happening?
Ski suit and the mustache. Just imagine. Like, I look straight out of the 1980s.
And maybe the cowboy hat, too.
Like, No.
Okay.
No cowboy hat. If they lose, we're on to the Rockets.
We are.
And to be fair, listen, Texas, the Rockets, they're going to make people forget about you pretty quickly. With the way that they're playing this year, like, people aren't going to be bummed out. Like, they're going to move on. That's kind of how this city operates. And then Astros pitchers and catchers are reporting in a few days. But I do want, for the most part, we got a couple of people texting and asking, like, what do you think about the NIL thing, whatever. And no, I am not pulling what Boston Sports Radio did to me growing up. During all those Patriots runs, I remember one day, it was like leading up to the effing Super Bowl, and they're talking about like Red Sox pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. I'm like, yo. Super Bowl. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I actually called. I tried to call in. I was like, what are you guys doing, you losers? Like, I wanted to call in. I'm not doing that. We are mostly Texans today. We will touch on the Rockets a little bit. So there you go.
As we should.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Galana George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Christopher Soriano says my mustache would freeze. It's not a tauntaun.
Your tauntaun will freeze to death before you get past the first checkpoint.
Shut up. I'm Han Solo, bitch. Up next, the Chiefs actually think the world's out to get them. This is ridiculous. I can't believe the Chiefs are still finding ways to motivate themselves. You're two-time defending champions. What are you talking about? You will hear the latest example of this next day put.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texas Chiefs tomorrow. Travis Kelce, Mr. Swift, not having the best statistical season for Kansas City this year, but he is having a good year. I think everyone's got it. Relax with this. Travis Kelce's washed because his numbers are down. This is fantasy football culture, I think, invading the NFL too much. Kelce is doing exactly what he needs to, and his numbers are still better than 95% of tight ends in the NFL.
Yeah, he's still at almost 100 catches this year.
Yeah, and I think it was just short of 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs this week were blowing smoke his way, saying, like, hey, like, he's really unselfish. Not going for the 1,000 yards this year. Well, I think it's more a reflection of just the Chiefs' offense and how limited it's been since Rashee Rice suffered the season-ending injury without Hollywood Brown for most of the year. His first game was against the Texans, with Xavier Worthy being more of a straight-line guy than a relying on him over the middle on a regular basis. And DeAndre Hopkins isn't the same guy anymore. So I can understand why his numbers are down, but I do not think that's a reflection of him not being a good player. And I think that what's concerning about tomorrow, Joe, is that all of a sudden Travis Kelce, he's been hibernating for tomorrow. And we saw that last year.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how many receptions he had in the first playoff game for the Chiefs last season, but everyone thought, oh, Travis Kelce's over the hill. He's washed. Taylor Swift, blah, 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 blah. And then he had a monster game his first game.
Yeah, I mean, it's Travis Kelce might be on the downside of his career as he's in, what, year 10 or 11?
As one of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game.
Yeah, but
he's 35 years old.
He's still the biggest threat to the Texans, I would say, this weekend. Like, I'm not – I'd be more worried about Travis Kelce than Pacheco or Kareem Hunt or, you know, Xavier Worthy, whoever's out there for them, DeAndre Hopkins. Like, he's still the biggest threat to the Texans and the guy who's – probably the most important for D'Amico to have a good scheme against, because if you just let Travis Kelce eat all day in the middle of the field, you're going to get crushed.
And he will do that a lot. So this year, Kelce, 97 catches for 823 yards. Last year, 93 for 984 yards. Not quite the three seasons to four or five. Jeez, look at his numbers. His numbers are insane. Like I like Gronk more because I think Gronk's a more complete tight end, but anyone thinking like Kelsey's not as difference maker at tight end is absolutely crazy. And I really wonder what D'Amico Ryans and Texans defensive coordinator Matt Burke are going to try to cook up to slow him down. Because, you know, as you said, yeah, whenever Mahomes is in trouble, he looks for Kelce. And Kelce, who is a massive 6'5" human being that also has a surprising amount of agility for that size, he generally knows exactly where he needs to be.
Yeah, he had seven catches last year in their first playoff game against the Dolphins for 71 yards.
In the frigid cold.
Yes.
Right.
And then he had two touchdowns the next week when they played Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And like, so like all the stuff about, you know, he led the team in receiving yards in the conference championship game against Baltimore. So, like, yes, he's having slower seasons, but he's turning it on in the playoffs. So, yeah, they have to cook something up special. And like, that's where like Aziz is going to be a huge factor in this. Christian Harris, Toto, like without Jalen Petrie out there and Jimmy Ward, you think the linebackers are probably going to be the most responsible unless we're going to do Miles Bryant.
I threw this out yesterday. F it, Derek Stingley. F it.
Interesting.
Now I don't think they'll do it, but F it. You know, it if you're concerned about him, that's one way to do it because your corners are probably going to do a pretty good job against their outside receivers. It's really a matter of is DeAndre Hopkins of old going to show up in this game? But look, Sean and I even said this yesterday, Joe, while you were out. This is us playing Madden and saying, screw it. We don't really know what to do. But it seems logical that a 6'1" guy who's pretty physical would probably be the best person if you're going to do a lot of man coverage to stick with Travis Kelce.
Yeah, it'll be, and obviously like, they probably won't do that just because.
Probably not, right.
Well, but we saw last week, I thought Stingley was going to follow Ladd McConkey around. He didn't do any of that stuff. Like they kind of stuck to their zone and their spots and their side of the field, and they just kind of go from there.
Maybe Kalen Bullock, but Kalen Bullock is playing center field for you too. Yeah, what Kelce does tomorrow is I think really going to be for the Chiefs offense, the biggest determiner of how many points that they score. This is what Travis Kelce had to say on the Pat McAfee show. Pat McAfee asked him a question, and he's definitely leading him here, but God, I'm so sick of the Chiefs acting like everyone thinks that they're going to lose.
Have you heard all that noise? And what is this year's team like versus maybe years past?
Well, we're finding different ways to win and more ways to win early on and throughout the season. I think last year we dealt with finding ways to lose. And, you know, you can learn from both, but learning from the games you win is a whole lot more fun. And I think we got a lot of confidence in this team and a lot of guys that are willing to go that extra mile, man. And we've definitely heard all the chatter and guys like, you know, Rex Ryan saying that, you know, this team can't win in the playoffs and he's seen it before. And, you know, we hear everything, but at the same time, we know what's real and what's in this building. And that's guys that want to be accountable for the one next to them and are going to keep finding ways to be accountable week in, week out.
We've heard the outside noise. The funny thing is, it's Rex Ryan!
Yeah, it's very ironic. The person he like mainly points to is the guy who called the Texans a bye week last week.
I'm tired of everyone pointing to Rex Ryan and saying, no one believes in us. No, Rex just talks trash on TV. Can we stop?
I don't, maybe Rex Ryan, like, the most influential member of NFL media right now.
Well, clearly, he's making the most head waves to the point where players are actually acknowledging it. But at a certain point, can we just say, hey, he's a loud media pundit. He's not even a coach anymore. Can we please stop acting like what he says is so disrespectful that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to go Super Saiyan? You know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of implications that I'm hearing here. And for those who don't know what that is, there's this anime called Dragon Ball Z. And generally, this show is ridiculous. When people get really angry about something, they would like unlock this new power level in this show that's all about like weird martial arts where guys can fly around. It's something else.
Is that why you get so angry at times?
What?
Because you think that's going to like unlock something for you?
No. No. That makes me angry. What?
He's laughing.
What?
Sean, that was a funny joke.
No, it's never planned.
Okay.
My anger is never planned. Like, I know that's the problem.
Not, yeah, well,
I'm
I guess
good at being angry on the air.
I guess there's technically is planned.
I'm imagining him, like, yelling more, start levitating as he starts yelling.
That would be
awesome.
Yeah.
Hair turns a different color.
In middle school, I definitely fantasized about that possibility.
So, I think everyone that grew up around our age was the same, because Dragon Ball Z was awesome.
Yeah. There's this very funny Instagram account that posts reels of basically this guy, what was going through his head when he was in high school, and they like play some like awful death metal in the background. I think his name is Pat on Instagram, but basically just does that all the time. The inner monologue of a middle schooler and a high schooler. Fantastic. Anyway, he's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Come on in, George. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Rex Ryan has the Chiefs motivated for a three-peat. It's not the possibility of a historic three-peat.
It's Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan.
Saying that they're not the same team, which, by the way, they haven't been this year from a just beating teams, beating the bejesus out of teams perspective. But they were 15-2, which is pretty damn impressive.
And they weren't great last year in the regular season. That's why, like, whenever there are some, seems to be Texans fans that do seem very confident in the fact that they think the Texans can win this weekend. And after last week, the vibes are good, but also it's the Chiefs, and we've seen the Chiefs be bad in the regular season now last year and be mediocre this year on offense, but they won pretty much every game they played. And last year when they got to the playoffs, they went to the Super Bowl and won it anyways. So I think Travis Kelce is they're trying to make something out of nothing, I would say.
I agree 100%. But hey, listen, when you're that good, sometimes you have to do it. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. How the hell did the Texans pull off a win? We'll try to figure that out. And if you've got any way to motivate us before the big game, like JG and Wood, our callers from this week, please do stick around. ESPN 97.5,
92.5. ESPN 97.5.